All this week, we are remembering September 11th, 2001, and looking at Boston's role in the day that altered the course of history. Some of the terrorists spent time in this area, and two of the planes that hit the Twin Towers in New York came from Logan Airport. 10 years later, WBUR's Monica Brady Meyerov examines the mark left on Boston and the lingering effects of the attacks.
9/11 started here in Boston, with two flights heading to Los Angeles, but making a tragic detour. For 23-year-old Jessica Lee Sachs, 9/11 started early, getting ready for her first work trip as an auditor with Price Waterhouse. She was living at home with her parents in Billerica after graduating from UMass Amherst. Her father, Stephen, and her mother, Karen, were camping when they heard the news.
When they said it was a plane that had left Boston just before 8 o'clock, bound for Los Angeles, we knew it was Jessica's plane. And when they said that, I was hysterical. He was hysterical. We were yelling, screaming or something. People in the campground came to see what was going on.
The only peace we have is that those that were on the first plane, from everything that the FBI and they shared with us, they really knew nothing of what was happening, other than someone supposedly was sick on the plane and they were going to land in New York.
The morning of September 11th, no one understood what was going on, not even officials at Logan Airport, as evidenced by their first statement on that morning.
We've closed the airport to all arriving and all departing flights.
Joe Lawless spoke to the press on September 11th, 2001. He was the director of public safety for Massport.
We've increased our security measures. We've activated our family assistance center at the Hilton Hotel, based upon some reports that some of these flights may have originated from Boston.
Jessica Sachs was on American Airlines Flight 11, the first to hit the tower. United Flight 175, also bound for Los Angeles, left Boston and hit the second tower. 10 hijackers made it through Logan security checkpoints with box cutters. Their choice of Boston has left an indelible mark on the city and spread tentacles of pain throughout the Commonwealth. According to the Massachusetts 9/11 Fund, 206 people from the state or with strong ties to the Commonwealth died on 9/11. Then-Governor Jane Swift was on her farm in Williamstown in the Hudson River Valley the morning of September 11th.
I was out for a run early on the morning of September 11th. It was a glorious day, as everybody remembers. And it's likely, had I looked up, that the flight path of those jets were going somewhere pretty close to over my head.
When she got back and learned what happened, the state police drove her to the bunker in Framingham. She took stock of what was happening. The airport closed, roads jammed, everyone looking for answers, and she didn't have any.
I had many moments on that day where my staff and others were urging me to do a press conference and to talk to the state, and I was very reticent because I felt like there was nothing I had to say. I just, you know, there was nothing newsworthy to tell them. But my studies and reflections since then is that sometimes leaders just need to be visible and to reassure.
There was little reassurance on that day, says Larry DeCara, a former Boston City councilor and a law partner at a large firm. Standing outside his building in downtown Boston, he remembers getting to work late and finding the office in chaos, not knowing whether to stay or leave. Soon, his high-rise and most others in Boston were evacuated as a precaution.
Nixon Peabody is on floors 23 through 27 in a location where, if there were another plane, it would be a likely place for that plane to go. So late in the morning, they evacuated the building. And then, along with nearly everyone else in downtown Boston, I had to decide where to go and what to do.
Like most everyone, he found comfort by going to his family. There are no physical reminders of the attacks in Boston, like in New York and Washington, but the wound to the city was deep because the first attacks originated from here. DeCara, who's written about the history of the city, reflects on what that day means for Boston.
I think we're less innocent as a city. I did not know when I heard that those planes crashed into the World Trade Center that there were people on those planes who I knew, not my closest friends, but acquaintances. And I think of that, a lot.
Whether Boston was chosen purposefully because it's a symbol of independence, freedom, and civil rights, or more likely because it was a short flight to New York and the large planes were loaded with fuel, we may never know. But that doesn't mean Boston is to blame in this tragedy, says former Governor Jane Swift.
So I'm a, you know, good practicing Catholic, so it's relatively easy for me to feel guilty about anything, and I'm a mother on top of it. But the reality is there are a lot of systems that were manipulated, but truly there are a small group of people who should feel guilty who never will and never did, and those are the terrorists.
Following the attacks, security officials believe Boston could be a future target, and the city has been subject to higher security at the port, at the liquefied natural gas facility, and especially at Logan, which has been a testing ground for the newest security measures. These are the reminders that it was here where 9/11 started. James Carroll is a Boston Globe columnist and a scholar in residence at Suffolk University.
There was a way in which Boston was the unacknowledged other city in 9/11, because it was traumatic for us when we recognized that two of the four planes had taken off from here, that the crime began here, that the plotting had been centered here. It felt like a double blow.
There are 31 memorials in Massachusetts to 9/11. The largest are at Logan Airport and the Boston Public Garden. But there are many other small ones honoring specific people. One is a prayer garden with two benches on the grounds of the New Colony Baptist Church in Billerica. It has what looks like a grave marker for Jessica Sachs. Sachs's parents, Stephen and Karen, don't visit often since they've moved to Missouri.
So this is the first time we've seen it in a couple of years.
And they've changed it, and yes, it's really nice.
Sachs doesn't have a gravesite because only a few parts of her remains were found. Her parents have cremated them and are saving them to bury in their own plots when they die. They moved to Missouri to flee the memory and be closer to their son.
It's changed our life incredibly. We were just talking about we could have spent the rest of our life here in Billerica. And instead, we ended up moving to St. Louis to be with our son and grandchildren, which we probably wouldn't have done if she were still here.
Jessica's death and that of thousands of others was a wake-up call to the nation about security and terrorism. But Stephen feels the government hasn't heeded the call.
I think they've gotten lucky because the terrorists are not made of the most intelligent lot in the world right now, and the leadership is in a mess. Do I believe that it won't happen again? No, I don't. I believe that when they finally figure out what they want to do, they'll hit us again.
Since 9/11, Boston has grown as a city, building a new convention center on the waterfront, planting a ribbon of parks along the Rose Kennedy Greenway, and hosting the Democratic National Convention. Boston will never forget 9/11, but these are signs the city has moved on from the wounds of that day. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Monica Brady-Meyerov.